I'm going to your phone calls, and I have a correction to make. And boy, I wish I wouldn't have done this, because I don't like pissing people off. And I told Big Lee, I said, you're selling the coin it costs? Yo, introductory. You're selling the water filters for like $5, what would they cost for VIPs? Yeah. And I said, okay, that's not that smart. I'm not trying to be mean. Well, so they ended that. So you can get the coin for $99 if you're VIP, $117 for everybody else. And it's a fundraiser, so I appreciate your support. It's the same thing with the water filters, because we got to make some money. So there you go, correcting that, because they came in and said, hey, you didn't read the new ads. Oh, sorry. Not on purpose there. Plus, people just get pissed off when they go and see that. Believe me, I didn't do that on purpose. We do have the new shirt I designed. Don't spy on me. With the flock camera or whatever cameras it is getting cut down. Just a symbol of civil disobedience, people taking action. And, yeah, I'm in fundraising mode because I want to expand. I want to finish our new studios. I want to hire more people. I want to kick ass. I want to take it to the enemy with everything I got. And thanks for providing that. You're standing right beside us. Okay, let's go to your phone calls. Bart, Robert, Vince, Nolock, Caden, Greg, and others. And let's take them in the order they are received. Oh, I guess Bart thought it was a joke or thought I was serious when I was talking about Charlotte marrying Nick Shirley. Or we'll see. I love this. I said, any topic you want. So now we're on arranged marriages. Durka Durka Muhammad Jihad. Go ahead, Bart in Georgia.
Yes, sir. Before I embarrass these two young kids, I really want to talk about T3 iodine. My mother had a stroke about a year and a half ago from these vaccines. I recently got her on this T3 iodine, but put her on it for about a month, and the difference is night and day. So I highly recommend this to someone that's had a stroke. It seems to help improve their condition.
Well, iodine is essential. Most people have deficiencies. It's electrochemical, and so yeah, brain cells and heart cells particularly function at a higher level when you have enough. And this is the purest iodine out there. Just specifically, this is very helpful to know. How did it help your mother? What did you witness?
Well, after her stroke, she was calling me by her brother's name and was calling her husband by my father's name, and now she's gotten all the names right.
Beautiful.
She was bounced back to 1975 after the stroke, but this iodine is really awesome. So please go to the alexjonesstore.com/redneck with a capital R. And all I just wanted to say about these two young kids, they look perfect together, and these young kids don't know what they're doing, and the parents know better, but that's none of my business.
Well, it was a joke, but okay, I appreciate your call. It was a joke, folks. Let's go to Robert in California. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'll try to keep it brief. The two topics I wanted to talk about were, I totally agree with you and with Larry Johnson's analysis that Lindsey Graham, he died in Ukraine. The timeline doesn't make sense. He, you know, died from the heart attack or whatever, but it could have been from the strikes and then he had a heart attack, or he could have been poisoned, maybe on the train. No one will really know, but I don't think that he died in Washington, D.C. He died in Ukraine, and the timeline doesn't make sense. And then the second point, I wanted to ask you, what was your opinion about Trump's Truth Social post about the Iranian blockade being on, how we're going to be the guardian of the Hormuz Strait, and then we're going to charge a 20% toll?
I have it here. Live updates. Trump says U.S. is reinstating blockade in Iran. I think it's totally delusional. I was planning to get to that this hour. It'll probably take me 5 minutes, so I wanted to go to calls first. But since you raise it, we're 136 days in. Iran can close at any time they want unless he does a total ground invasion of the Strait of Hormuz, which they say will take hundreds of thousands of troops, huge casualties. So this is an unmitigated disaster and gives Netanyahu what he wants, U.S. total entry into total war. What do you think?
I totally agree with you. I think this is the beginning of the Battle of Hormuz. That's what Robert Pape said, Professor Pape, on Mario Nafal's show I was watching earlier, too. This is the beginning of the Battle of Hormuz.
I agree. Is that clip up on Nafal's? Guys, check Nafal's X and see if they've put that up. The Battle of Hormuz has begun. What a perfect way of saying it. I agree. The Battle of the Strait of Hormuz has begun. Anything else, Robert?
Basically, we're doing extortion just like we're...
Hold on, stay there. We'll just cover the topic now. This is big. It was up next. Literally, up next on my stack. We'll be right back. And it's all coming to a head now. I know we've talked about this forever, but it's here now, folks. I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend.
Do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Nothing can stop me. The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
Taking a page out of the Ukrainian playbook, it's a CIA playbook, they're now using sea drones to hit Iranian ports.
All their ships at the bottom, we've won, regime's been changed, Strait of Hormuz is open, peace deal's done, on my birthday, it's all over, I'm going to totally obliterate them, oh, they're great, we're making deals.
And now, Trump is saying we're going to be the guardians of the Strait, we're going to charge 20%, not Iran, and we're going to let our ships through and not theirs. And they're just going to sit there and sink ships, and we're going to bomb them, and it's going to go on for years like Vietnam. And it's going to destroy the economy. And that's where we are. We predicted it. The Pentagon predicted it. Wasn't hard. We were the panickins. We didn't see the beauty of the regime change. And we were talking to Robert in California. He was saying this is extortion. Elaborate on this.
Well, I mean, I totally. Basically, the rest of the world, they're going to side with Iran, because they don't want to pay the 20% toll. They're going to say Iran was only charging, what, $1 per barrel? So it's a couple million bucks, whatever it is, but it's not 20%. So they're going to try to go the Iranian side of the route to pay less than 20%. And then this is just going to be escalation. That's basically what I wanted to say. But I just wanted your opinion on his Truth Social post.
I mean, we can put it on screen. I basically just read it to people. And that's what Trump's saying. That we're going to control it, and we're going to be the bosses of it, even though he said a month ago it'll be really hard to get control of because they've got all those weapons. These aren't high-tech, long-range missiles. They've got tens of thousands, conservatively, small missiles, artillery around there, and they can just blow the living snot out of it forever. So, yes, I would say the Battle of the Strait of Hormuz has begun.
Yeah, this is the Battle of Hormuz, and we're going to get bogged down just like Vietnam. They're going to be in their tunnels. They're going to be shooting missiles and drones. We can't get them out. It's going to be like a guerrilla warfare with the Viet Cong. We're going to be bogged down for years.
Great points, sir. I appreciate your call. I'll get into that more, but right now let's go back to calls. Vince in the Midwest, you're on the air on elections and voting. That's coming up in November.
Hey, Alex. It's great getting to talk to you. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I've been listening to you since I was 16, all the way back in 2016. And one of the things that always stuck with me that you said a lot and you kind of said a little bit less of recently, especially with the whole Trump thing and the Trump movement, is that both parties are two heads of the same snake. And frankly, there's a growing number of people, both left, right, independent, that can see through the binary. And I just wanted kind of get your thoughts on that, and if you still believe that they're virtually the same, indistinguishable from each other, or if you truly do believe now that there is a meaningful difference. Because one of the things that stuck with me the most is your breakdown of the false two-party dichotomy.
Well, that's a long story. I coined the term the false left-right paradigm 30 years ago or so, because back then the Republicans and Democrats were a uniparty at the top, and they got together and basically decided who was going to win where, what was going to go on. They would occasionally fight at the presidential level, but overall the agenda was the same. And then Ross Perot came in and brought up a bunch of legitimate issues. Ron Paul came in, and through the Tea Party, we together, that is the audience, I mean, we're credited by the sociologists at the Rockefeller Foundation and others that it was Ron Paul and then my audience, not me, that the numbers they did, the studies they did, they, even when Trump won in 2016, they did a study in five battleground states and found that we gave about 4 to 5 points. So it was our listeners and InfoWarriors that pushed the voting over the edge for Trump to win. That's why they hated me so much, giving me credit for it. It was the audience. But at the RNC in Cleveland, a third of the people there, hundreds of 100,000 or so, were wearing our shirts. It really freaked them out. We had airplanes in the sky saying, arrest Hillary Clinton, Hillary for president. We came in with a huge 1,000-watt pirate radio station on an open frequency and blasted my show. We had sandwich trucks with the big screens on the sides and driving around with powerful videos. It just freaked the left completely out. It's like waving a red cape in front of a bull. And there with Trump, you saw them come after him. You saw his rhetoric alone was anti-globalist, pro-America. That does something real. You saw a bunch of his real actions, no wars during that period. And you saw better judges than what would have been in. But then he got sabotaged. People would fight him to his face. And so it was a stalemate. Now they learned to lie to him and tell him whatever he wants to hear. And after that administration and 4 years of war and all, you know, political war, when he went through at 80, you know, he's exhausted. And just, you know, gotten to where I don't give a damn attitude, still doing a lot of good, but also a lot of bad. And so, no, we have a real populist beachhead in the Republican Party. 20, 30 years ago, the fourth turning wasn't here. So there wasn't a global awakening. The telecommunications and the internet hadn't gotten to the point they are now. The corporate media wasn't as credited as it was. So the political class was 95% bad guys. Not just here, but in most areas of the West. Now you have in every country real patriots winning, being put in prison, being killed, being blocked from running again, whether you're in Brazil or whether you're in Romania, whether you're in France with Le Pen, Marie Le Pen. And then you've got, you know, the Brexit that was internally, you know, sabotaged, and then you've got another real, you know, reform group coming in. So it's a process. We don't come from nowhere to winning in just a decade or two, but now we're decades into this. Now the fourth turning's here. Globalist documents leak. They say they've lost all credibility. Everything's falling apart. Nobody trusts them. Nobody trusts the WEF, the UN. Nobody trusts BlackRock. All these governments are fighting BlackRock. State governments are winning lawsuits against BlackRock, trying to control their internal politics with their corporate social credit score. So with the public, we've gone from maybe 1% being informed to 30% being informed heavily, maybe another 10% somewhat informed. We're not quite at a majority yet, but there's people are waking up fast. The problem is a lot of those that wake up just get so cynical and say, screw this, I can't believe it's so bad and it's still going forward. Well, these things take time. There's the analogy of Force 10 from Navarone where it's based on composite of true stories and you know, where they bomb the dam and it doesn't fall right away and the demolition guy goes, give it a few minutes, the crack's got to form, it's going to collapse, and it did. So, you know, and it doesn't matter. Things will be much worse if we don't resist. They will ban the beef. They will put kill switches in all the cars, which they've done. Now we're pushing back. They will do universal basic income. They will ban gasoline cars. They will transgender our sons and daughters. But we're fighting back and pushing them back now. But we can't push, and oh, God, they didn't fully collapse. We just pushed them back 100 feet. Let's give up. Well, they're pushing us towards a cliff. We don't have a choice but to push back. So we should never be naive about Republicans just because they're Republican being good. We should know their voting record and support those that are good, put pressure on those that flip-flop. And it was a false left-right paradigm because 20 years ago, there was almost no difference. So we championed those that brought revolutionary awakening to the body politic. Democrats got more corrupt, more out of control. We saw some reform in the Republicans, and it's generally been more conservative parties from Australia to Europe to the UK to Canada that at least have to pay lip service to things and slow down the acceleration of the globalist takeover, which buys us time to inform people even faster and get better candidates and set up alternative businesses, political systems, and operations. I mean, you know, we have a sponsor that is how they couldn't deplatform me with banking. that does it for a lot of big people. It's a pretty good sized company that goes through hell to do it. I mean, that's a revolutionary thing. Even if you've not been debanked or your company's not political, you should still go and switch to that because you have to build structures that are patriot. We have to get power. We have to get wealth. We have to get infrastructure. So this is a society-wide mobilization we're talking about. But first, you got to mobilize the mind to know what's going on. So we're in the middle of a giant populist awakening worldwide. And the globalists have entrenched themselves, but are in a rear guard action. And so we saw Trump overall maverick for a while, then going sideways, but he just rode in our wave. He is not indicative or some way to be demoralized to believe that we should all just give up because our champion, you know, ended up getting compromised at some level. As we still take the good with the good, the bad with the bad, you know, the bad with the good, as they say. But that's a quick way of saying it. Do you have any comments?
Yes, sir. I apologize if my intro was long-winded.
There's nothing to apologize. You're a great caller. Sir, please. Specifically, what do you think? I want to know what you think.
What I think, in regards to the system and voting and everything, I think a lot of people are waking up. I'm even seeing in my day-to-day life, nobody really believes in the idea of the representative democracy. They either believe in, a representative republic or republic in general, they believe in either a democracy or not voting at all. I, for one, am all for an actual republic, but that would mean curtailing the rights to vote and, like, not doing the whole popular voting BS. As to what you said, I definitely see a mass awakening coming. I just don't see any societal change until we get institutions backed by the Epstein class, AIPAC, this kind of billionaire Zionist banker class out of our, not only our politics, out of our businesses, out of all of our institutions that prevent actual grassroots patriot movements from forming. And until we do that, I can't see any change happening on the macro level. On the micro level, it's happening minute by minute, hour by hour. But I just wanted to say that, and I wanted to say, too, you were a personal hero of mine. Without you, I probably would have gotten the vaccine. If I could have voted, I would have voted in 2016 for Trump. I didn't vote in 2020. I voted for Trump in 2020, I should say, not in 24 for Trump. I didn't vote at all in 24. But I can single-handedly credit you and many people in my social circles to being awakened and saving their lives from a lot of really evil stuff. So I just wanted to thank you, sir, for all the work you do. And I hope that you could keep growing bigger and stronger. And I love Rex. You and Rex are the key parts of my day. I'm in college and I'm a delivery driver right now. And without you two, I think I'd be going crazy.
Well, I appreciate your kind words, sir. And it touches my heart, Vince from the Midwest. Thank you so much for letting us be part of your life. My son does his own show, The Gray Zone News, with his co-host. And he was guest host for me last night on the Sunday show. So that was a good interview. Let me put bookends on what you just said. People that say, I'm done, I'm not voting, this isn't happening quick enough. You just left a vacuum for the Democrat Socialist of America, the communist, funded by the big billionaires, to come in with all the free lunch promises to people, and we'll end up in Venezuela. Okay? So just remember, if people being purists and saying, I'm not getting a pure, perfect, you know, populist utopia over here, then I'm not going to be engaged. You're opening the door for that. And then look at the World Jewish Congress they had, you know, 2 months ago and all these other events. They're like, everybody's waking up. People are against what we're doing, taking over their government. We've got to, you know, we're spending billions to propagandize them and it's backfiring. We'll spend more. And I don't want to make it just about Israel, but it's trying to really assert itself during this power vacuum right now because they know the fourth turning's here with the primarying of politicians, with AIPAC. With the $1.3 billion that they admit to spending, just the Israeli government, not to mention all the other, NGOs and groups. And you've got all the other constellations of NGOs and think tanks and, you know, the things that are going on, too. But Israel right now is the lead elephant, you know, in our grill. I mean, I'll use the Lord of the Rings analogy where they're down in there in the mines of Moria and the door knocks down and here runs in a cave troll right at them and with a bunch of goblins behind it. I mean, it's the 20-foot cave troll. It's coming at you with a battle axe. I mean, this is like, I'm like, Israel just rah, you know, right at you. And you're trying to get us into total war, just swinging their Johnson around in our face, that they're the big boss. I mean, it's crazy. We're the masters of the universe. Everybody else is under us. They're all goy. They're being provocative on purpose. I mean, I turn on Israeli TV, and it sounds like a Nazi channel or something, but from the Jewish perspective. That's not all the Jews, or even most of them. Netanyahu is unpopular, but he uses parliamentary manipulation to stay in power, just like Starmer did, just like Carney's doing right now. And it's just crazy. I mean, you tune into this, and like, of course we're genociding. Oh, and we'll control America. They're pathetic. And you, I saw Pollard going, I always side against the goy. The Americans are, I didn't even play the clip. Like, I'm like, oh God, I can get them. I've got, without even looking, I've got 10 clips of prominent Jews saying the goy are the enemy. And I'm just like, dude, I'm the enemy? Like, God, I've got to, okay. It's like Sneeko. He came out again and said, all of America will be under Islamic rule. We will, and then he, oh, I'm friendly. No, I didn't mean that. No, we don't, the Quran doesn't say you'll convert or pay the Jesus tax or be killed. And it's in the Quran over and over again. And now he's chickened out and won't come on the show. I mean, he's just running around with a bunch of Muslims, beating his chest, doing throat-slitting motions, saying, we're taking over your houses. All of your women are ours. And I'm just like, okay, dude, you're the enemy. And I see a bunch of whacked-out stuff out of Israel. And I'm like, okay. You know, how'd that stuff fly before when you start pulling it? Not good. And I'd rather not have this go down this way. So, whatever, but it's cuckoo town. It's absolute cuckoo town. And my point is that the Israel lobby is like, everybody hates us. Everybody's turning against us. What are we going to do? Everything we do turns to crap. Well, we're superior. We'll just fight harder. And we'll set people up and use exploding pagers on Americans. You know, he said, the head of the ADL, he said, we need to use the same energy as exploding pagers on Hamas against Americans that say Israel got us into the war. And they said, we've changed the definitions. If you criticize Zionism, we'll get you deplatformed or even arrested. And I'm just like, oh, that's going to work. That's really nice. So, and there's a paradox of all the foaming at the mouth Muslims going, don't criticize Islam. We're going to get the Jews. And I'm like, yeah, it's all competing power structures. But my point is, in closing, go back to calls, is that the World Economic Forum, the UN, BlackRock, in their own internal papers, their own statements, say we've lost trust. Everyone's turning against us. What are we going to do? The censorship's not working. New pandemics aren't working. Starting new wars. They're rejecting everything. What do we do? And it's like the fourth turning, man. And if you try to insert yourself into the fourth turning and make it like a new World War II, where anyone that doesn't do what Israel says is Hitler, and then we believe we're going to come out on top because you're either Hitler or you're us, and that's 80-year-old paradigm, and the young people go, okay, I'm Hitler. You know any black people, Hispanics, Asians? It's all over the place. They just see that as avant-garde and cutting edge, and he was a Christian, and he was great, and of course they don't know any of the history, not your twisted history that's put out by the left and by the ADL, but the real one, not good. Survival of the fittest, everybody else is scum, subhuman. Anti-Christian, wanted to outlaw Christianity, but Hitler was a good Christian man. It's just, it's ignorance reigning. And so all these power structures are in deep trouble. And if they think they're going to brand it, whether it's BlackRock or Israel or the Chi-Coms or any of these people, and go against the whole tide of history, they're on the wrong side of history. I mean, Israel has set itself up as the censor, as the enforcer, as the bully globally, and said, yeah, we censor worldwide. Yeah, we got our Jewish billionaires worldwide. Yeah, we're going to make the goy behave. And if America doesn't stay behind us, you'll be destroyed. You owe everything to us. And then all the surrogates say that, and people are like, what is this? You in the middle of a global awakening, global revolution against corrupt institutions and corporations, have somehow the Jewish leadership inserted themselves in as the enforcer. And, of course, that's the leaders of that wanting this clash, knowing Jews are going to get targeted, and knowing that this demon that's being summoned, that you believe the world Jewry will counter that and somehow win in this big cataclysmic Guderdammerung clash of civilizations. Well, Hitler believed he had to summon a giant war. And if the Germans weren't good enough, they'd failed to be destroyed, and they deserved it. He believed in the Guderdammerung, the twilight of the gods. And the Iranian mullahs believe they've got to summon an end of the world for their Messiah to show up, the 12th Imam. And the Christian Zionists think they're making Jesus come back on this power trip of the thrill of summoning destruction and summoning crisis and summoning war, and believing when our people get crushed and are brought to the edge of destruction, they will rally and they will win. The Nazis, the Israel First, Greater Israel people, the mullahs, the Chaikoms believe that. And I have a true Christian ethos of promote what's good and decent for every race, color, and creed. Stand up, be measured, fight evil, but don't go out and start fights. Promote good policies that are pro-human, transparent, and decent. Pro-family, transparency, low interest, prosperity for the general public, true egalitarianism, classical liberalism, Thomas Jefferson. I'm a liberal, folks. Now, a liberal believed more guns, more freedom, more property, more rights, more of your money, more responsibility. A liberal today wears a mask because they're in a cult and want to hide their identity because they're communists. They're bandits. And they're all scared and neurotic. And it's their armband. So does something make you more independent or does something make you more controlled? I mean, look at what Israel's like today. Israel is falling apart. It's not doing great. Was doing great until Netanyahu was going to go to jail. So he funded Hamas, wink, wink, told him to go ahead and attack. We'll have a big war, but you'll get more funding. And then he double-crossed him. After Israel set him up in 79, how many years is that? 50-something years? 48 years, whatever? And it's just like at the end of Episode 3, Star Wars, where they've had the Trade Federation finance all these attacks on the home planets so the Emperor can become the dictator. And then he tells Darth Vader and he says, go to the Mustafar system, kill Viceroy Gunray and all of the other separatists. Take out the Jedi? Good. Now, go take out all of our people that worked for us that thought they were going to be running things. They're not going to run nothing. And I'm telling you, I agree with Michael Yon. They're setting up Israel to potentially be sacrificed. They're going to move the new Israel to Argentina and to Ukraine. And if that gets nuked, they'll move it to Argentina. Israel's moving. Their real elites are moving to Argentina. Oh, they're getting ready for nuke. Israel might nuke itself, boys and girls. So if you want to get Viceroy Gundrayed, you just go right ahead. Because that's how this stuff works when empires and new systems are coming in and old systems want to transform themselves into a new system, is hundreds of millions usually die. Well, we're a lot bigger population now. Billions will die. Do you want war on the streets? Do you want your electricity out for months? Do you want famine and death? Do you want roving bands of criminals? Because we're inches away from civilization collapsing. When you've got the best men and the hardest working people, you can barely hold civilization together. When you have people actively sabotaging and it falls apart, and Elon Musk has told the elites, you're going to get destroyed in this. You're not going to pose as the saviors. They know you're behind it. Enough people know it's you. They're going to kill all of the elite. And then where's our money and power worth anything if you've destroyed everything, dumbasses? Listen to Musk. Listen to me. Stop now to the globalists, to Israel, to the Islamists, the Chaikoms. But you're not going to listen, are you?
And a microscopic tag being planted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here, is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano-sized. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Colin saying 21 years ago that, oh yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha ha ha, wonder to put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away, not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more, scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting the you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health, what it's done is absolutely insane. Get masterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, getmasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to getmasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatic when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. Getmasterpiece.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Hormuz, the war of Hormuz has begun with the United States with aerial bombardments, sea drones smashing into their shipping areas and docks ahead of a full invasion Trump's talking about. As we predicted, not very good at all. I got a lot of news I want to hit in closing, and I want to go to Locke in Virginia, Caden, Greg, Matt, Sam, and Chad, and that's it for calls, but having a little bit of fun. During that little four-minute break when Nick Shirley was leaving at the bottom of the last hour, I always like to tease Charlotte. She's the only one of my four children that works here, and she does a great job. Rex does his own thing but fights the globalist. And I was teasing because her and Nick were talking quite a bit during the breaks and seemed to be hitting it off. So I said, because, you know, she's 22 now, and you know, it's time for the grandkids. And I'm not trying to do an arranged marriage, but I do tease her because – you know, I need some grandkids around here. Or who knows? I might have some more children. But no, I don't think her and Nick Shirley are going to get married. But, you know, she could do worse. So who knows? But here's a little bit of the video that Rob New was shooting, and then Charlotte grabbed the phone and tried to delete it. But now she's okay with us airing it. Here it is.
Rolling.
Folks, Charlotte's marrying Nick Shirley.
She said
she's going to be Charlotte Shirley.
Charlotte Shirley.
I couldn't have a better son-in-law. I endorse it right now. You may kiss the bride.
Oh, Alex.
She was going to marry Nick Fuentes, but she's not likes Nick Shirley.
This is quite the father-in-law.
No, this is all fraud.
Yeah, the joke is she has to marry somebody named Nick. You know, I joked one time when she was in the control room, she's going to marry Nick Fuentes. People thought that was serious. I had all these callers and for like a week and emails that you shouldn't be doing that. Yeah, that's wrong to make her marry him. Yeah, I'm going to make my daughter marry somebody. That's hilarious. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, boy, it's funny. Did we find the Revenge of the Sith clip? If I mention one, we almost always have to play it, but we found it. Here's the clip where they double cross the Jedi, and then they double cross the Trade Federation that supplied the terrorist to give Palpatine the excuse to become dictator. Here it is.
And the Jedi Rebellion has been foiled.
What's happened?
The Chancellor's been elaborating on a plot by the Jedi to overthrow the Senate.
And the remaining Jedi will be hunted down and defeated.
They've killed all the Jedi babies.
Survived.
Just like we abort our children.
Killed not by clones. This Padawan. By a lightsaber he was.
Who? Who could have done this?
The attempt on my life has left me scarred. And if all, but I assure you, my resolve has never been stronger.
No! No!
Security and continuing stability, the Republic will be reorganized into the First Galactic Empire for a safe and secure society.
This is how liberty dies. With thunderous applause.
The war is over. Lord Sidious promised us peace. The only one.
That's what the left's going to do with the globalists and the Muslims and their red-green alliance. What the Muslims think they're going to do to them. This is all megalomania, insane, cuckoo town stuff. It always ends the same. And it's not going to end well for Israel either, or any of us either. It's bad. But it's the fourth turning. It was all predicted. And here we are. Who's up next here? Who's been on the longest? All right, both of you talked. All right, Locke in Virginia, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Alex. So first off, thank God you brought back the iodine. Your old iodine had a terrible taste, but I grew to love the taste. And as soon as I saw this one was brought back, I'm like, I just can't wait to taste that horrible iodine again and know what it's doing for my body. And lo and behold, the T3 actually tastes good. So anybody that's listening to this broadcast, $30, become a VIP. It's $1 a day. Okay, this guy has not only put his life on the line, he's dedicated his entire life to this. And, you know, the least you can do is $1 a day, $30.
Well, let me be clear. There's more than 30 servings in the iodine. So I would not take a whole bottle each month. And again, this is the only, everybody says they have Atomic. They do not. This is real iodine. And it is the missing link in most people. It goes great with the methylene blue. I take it about 3 days a week. I take methylene blue about 3 days a week because I get too much energy if I take more than that. And you should consult your physician before you take either one of them because it's not a game.
So I was referring to the VIP membership where you get $30 a month and you actually get $40 back. You can spend it in the store on whatever you want.
Absolutely. I'm saying, like, and big discounts and everything. Least, yeah.
That is the least anybody can do because no damn billionaire is putting their money behind anything like our founders did. They put everything on the line and just seems that nobody wants to put have any skin.
Yeah, George Washington was the richest man in the colonies. Because he was a good businessman, and he also inherited both from family and then from the widow he married, huge land holdings. And then he went out for 15 years and was the only prospector willing to go into dangerous areas in Pennsylvania and other areas. So he ended up owning a bunch of that land because he fought for it. He put it all into the war. Sam Adams was the richest guy in Boston. He put everything into the war. Those guys were not playing games.
They were not, and that's what I'm getting at, is the fact that our elites have failed us, and that is why the Democratic Socialists and people like that are gaining the traction that they are. But what I was calling in was about the Iran war. And last Friday, you had Jay Dyer on, and he was going over the Rothschild authorized biography. Did you pay attention to that?
Yes, I actually had my lunch and took care of some phone calls, so I listened off and on. It was so good, even though I've read that book. I think it came out 10 years ago. It's authorized by them. Went back over the weekend while I was on the elliptical, and I listened to the whole hour, which is only like 45 minutes. So, yes, I do routinely listen to Jay Dyer, but not normally the whole thing. I did, and you have to understand the Rothschilds have done PBS documentaries and BBC ones where they admit all that as well. They admit they've set up world government. They admit how they engineered the Battle of Waterloo to take over and bankrupt the British stock market. I mean, when we say all that, that's from them. They're very proud of it.
Yes, and not only that, the thing that got me was, like, because Jay has a gift, okay? So he can make something, like, because he just did an hour. He did 45 minutes on your show, but he did 3 hours on his own YouTube channel. And he has a gift to make the most monotonous stuff sound the most interesting with his own commentary going on.
But it's not monotonous. The globalist all right books admitting all of it. I mean, I remember Helmut Schmidt, the German chancellor, wrote a book called Men in Power's Political Retrospective. The book's like $1,000. It's so rare. I've got it somewhere around here. And he says, we do druidic rituals to the gods in Germany, but we love the one at Bohemian Grove, which we set up as Skull and Bones, and we love the occult powers we get in our rituals. And I'm reading the German chancellor admitting they do occult rituals. I mean, it's like there's thousands of these books. They just tell you everywhere. I mean, Bill Gates says he wants to kill not 80% of us and 90% of us. And then, I mean, it's just like crazy. It's like, just admit this stuff.
Yeah, yes. Speaking of Gates of Hell, I'm glad Tucker's been putting him on blast the last couple of days.
Tucker's so hardcore now. He's Alex Jones 2.0.
So going back to the Rothschild biography, one of the things that caught my attention, because a lot of the stuff we know, you know, just from listening to your documentaries and, you know, other people, you know, like G. Edward Griffin, we knew a lot of this stuff. But one of the things that caught my attention was where he said that they would send the liberal family members into liberal parts of Europe and the conservative family members into conservative parts of Europe, and they don't care about politics. They are just there to capitalize on whatever issues they can create, whatever stress points. Remember, you used to always talk about stress points, North Korea, the Middle East, Ukraine, Syria, the stress points that they could put their finger on, our borders. Our borders are another example of a stress point that they can put their finger on and cause tension. And that you know, it literally goes back to it takes us right back to the beginning. It's the Federal Reserve. It is the bankers. And at the end of the day, we can elect all the Republicans we want. If we don't get elected in blocks, one of the blocks, repeal the Federal Reserve.
Well, you know, you know what they put above some of their palaces in France and in England. They put, I care not who makes the laws. I care who can.
Yes, I care who makes prints the money. Who
yeah, I mean, that's literally in documentaries showing it there today. And they just sit there like they're the adult table. We're the little kids. And then if you go, hey, the Rothschild banks, you know, own BlackRock, then the ADL says you're a Nazi. I don't care if Jews ran it or Chinese or Easter bunnies. I'm like, we need to get out from under the. They own the majority of the Federal Reserve as of 1913. We've never audited it since then. I appreciate your call. I talked to you all day, but yeah. It's like, I mean, Nick Fuentes made that point. People go, oh, Stalin worked for the Jews. You know, I see the Nazis all day doing that. And it's like, Stalin rounded up the Jews and kicked them all out of government and killed a couple million of them. And I'm not even defending him. I think Stalin was a bad guy. But, you know, but a bunch of the communists, the majority were Jewish at first. And just these Nazis don't know anything. And he's sitting there debating Dan Bilzerian, and he's going, no. Hitler was bad. He was going to go in and enslave and kill all the Slavs to make living space, which means Lebensraum. And Bilzerian goes, I don't believe that. That's Jewish propaganda. He goes, dude, it's in Mein Kampf. And Bilzerian didn't know what Mein Kampf was. These guys just have talking points and just say them. You know about Hitler and you haven't read My Struggle? I've read it like 3 times. It'll give you a headache. I know all about the Weimar Republic and about the Versailles Treaty and stuff, but I mean, you know, it's just like, and his weird political theories. And so much of it was based off pulp fiction novels he read about the American West. So he wanted, you know, the American West to be Russia, and they were going to kill all the Russians and then turn it into the Wild Wild West and put everybody in concentration camps the way we did the Native Americans. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. And it's just like, and I got to hear, oh, Hitler was this good Christian man, blah, blah, blah. And Hitler flooded the Berlin subway on record. And they said, sir, you'll kill a million women and children down there. And he said, they deserve to die. The Germans were weak. I mean, he said, I'm taking us into this war, and if we fail, the Germans deserve to die. The guy killed 24 million Germans. He got them killed. He's a gigantic loser. Oh, but he drove a super Mercedes black, and he wore Hugo Boss uniforms. I mean, give me a break, folks. The big bankers built Hitler. They flooded him with everything. They set it all up. He had a secret treaty with the King of England, and then they set him up. That's why Rudolf Hess flew in and parachuted over the palace with the agreement. Then they put him in the Tower of London the rest of his life. But you, as Nazis, you say you're Nazis. You don't even know who Rudolf Hess is, do you? The Deputy Fuhrer. You don't know who Albert Speer is. You don't know who Hermann Goering is. Maybe you know who Joseph Mengele is. Do you know any of this stuff? You know that Israel, when it was founded, hired a bunch of top Nazis to engineer and set up Israel and their secret police and their Mossad and everything else? They used top SS officers to hunt down everybody that didn't serve Israel. Simon Wiesenthal Center Nazi hunters. Give me a break. I mean, come on. Israel was brainchild by Adolf Hitler with the Rothschilds. All right. A little more sophisticated than a lot of you know out there. All right. Up next here. Caden in Utah. You're on the air worldwide.
Hey, Alex.
Welcome.
Hey, Alex. Huge fan, first-time caller, long-time listener. Been listening to you since I was 13, 24 now, so you've really opened my mind.
God bless you. Good to have you here.
Yeah, no, and everyone, buy the T-shirts. I have your Justin Bieber T-shirt, your Save the Frogs.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, Methylene Blues, great. I just have two quick questions. So I've just noticed society the past, like, 6 to 10 years has really just been pivoting more towards binary thinking, like, oh, this person's good, this person's bad, right versus left, that dichotomy that we were talking about earlier. And, like, I truly believe that that's from social media, algorithms, technology, AI being pushed in our face more and more. So whenever we receive information, we don't take time to critically think about it, and people just want to comment immediately. How do you think that we can move away from that binary thinking that I've seen a lot in my personal sphere? And when do you think that humanity will doom like Frank Herbert's Dune AI, like get rid of all the thinking machines.
Sure. And by the way, I asked the crew this earlier. They just gave me the answer. I go from memory reading books decades ago. Lebensraum is, I said Lebensraum from just memory. Lebensraum means living space. So Lebensraum, excuse me. Always got to fact check yourself decades later because things get foggy and distorted. I was listening to you, but they popped that up and that factoid got me off. It was a really good question. What was it again?
So just basically technology and AI and social media just pushing.
Oh, yeah. It all goes for knee jerk. So you're either supposed to say 100% Israel and Trump killed Charlie Kirk and believe whatever the dozens of theories are that contradict each other all at the same time. Or you're supposed to believe the official story 100% that obviously is not true either. And it just becomes mindless. And then you're automatically in one camp or the other instead of keeping your mind open. Knee-jerk thinking with not a lot of data or any context is a big problem.
I mean, like, how is it that we can get away from that sort of binary thinking, though, with all the technology that's been pushed on us? When are we going to get rid of thinking machines like in Frank Herbert's Dune?
Well, I don't think you'll ever, you know, we'll quote, unless we blow ourselves up, ban these systems. You just can't let them take control. You got to remove the AI out of the cars watching you for day one for control kill switches. And you see that starting with the flock cameras. You've got to become aware of it. You've got to get militant enthusiasm going. And you know, mob psychology is there for a good reason. You got to get the public focused on what its real enemy is. It's the machines designed to remove humans and make us obsolete. The real discrimination is now data centers saying humans can't have energy or go on a trip or have air conditioning or have kids, but the data centers can have whatever they want. We need to get down to understanding and get more tribal and combined together, and also realize not everybody's going to be an intellectual or that, you know, really smart. It's up to us in the intellectual battles to run for office and, you know, run the student newspapers when we're younger and get into the structure as lawyers and accountants and doctors and get involved, you know, in political charities and support those that are on the vanguard. You know, really, it's always going to be supporting those on the vanguard, the people back at home funding those on the front line and the little people, the middle class, organizing together to put our forces together financially and culturally to win. So it's a long, complex process, and we move the ball actually way down the field. I appreciate your call. But also in the culture war, when you're really awake, you can look at silly stuff like loving the flag. Well, they're saying tear it down and take a knee during it. The beginning of victory is just saying no to the leftist agenda that is the main attack arm of the globalist. And then out of that, having pride in the country, not hating yourself because you're white or you're a male or whatever it is, then you can move on to other things. So here's an example. I'll take another call. This lady, I just love her. You know, you got the white players getting beat up and all the rest of it because it's everything's so racial. And the media pushes that. Then you got Sophie Cunningham, who's also beautiful, you know, famously pointing her finger, and the other team gets mad. So Dana White had her as one of the ring girls, and it was a huge hit. And this could be silly and funny, but he knows what he's doing. He said no to the COVID lockdowns first, help break their back. He understands whatever they're trying to demonize, whatever they're trying to attack, we have to rally behind to let the left know you don't dictate how we act. You don't dictate what we do. You can call us names. We don't care. In fact, we think it's funny. A lot of that is getting people out of their comfort zones and actually enjoying being challenged and being attacked by the leftist cult. So here she is as the ringside girl. Something else. I just love her attitude, all of it, just the energy. And then I'll cut to Dana White talking about her. Here it is. Makes the left so unhappy because whites are demonized, white women are demonized, femininity is demonized. You know, beautiful women is like, oh, that's raping women for women to be beautiful. No, it's not women having that power. And, you know, oh, a man can dress like a woman, that's beautiful and great, but if a woman's a woman, oh, don't do that, that's evil. This is all about dehumanization. And then just the stunt, a little thing like she's there, hey, why don't you go up and do this? They just had the idea 10 minutes before. And of course, she came dressed like a ring girl, she had the idea. And they're like, oh, God, she's outgoing. She's wild. She might be a little bit, you know, a little bit of a fun girl. How dare her enjoy life? This is disgusting and not Christian. How dare Elon Musk have all these children? But let's have everything story time. Look at those girls. Oh, God, that's so gross. And then everybody does the point, pointing out the leftist garbage, the racism, and saying no.
Did you hire Sophie Cunningham as a ring card girl?
Why did I do it?
When did you hire her?
About 8 minutes before she did it.
I love Sophie Cunningham. We've created a relationship, and she was here tonight. And when she walked in, she goes, oh, I want to walk around that. I said, then you're going to walk around it. Yeah.
Dana, all the way.
We're out of time, but I'm going to go to Matt and Sam. The other folks weren't holding as long, but if you want to give us your name and number, we'll call you back tomorrow. I'm taking calls again. Matt, you got a minute and a half, then Sam, minute and a half. Matt in Idaho, you're on the air. Welcome.
All right. Thanks, Alex. Hey, I just wanted to say I appreciate the nuanced view that you have of Trump and the inner dialogue. I have the same thing. And I just real quick want to say to Christians, I think Trump is a good man. He's principled. I don't think he's a born-again Christian like you and I are. And so we think about things in terms of the Bible, in terms of the Holy Spirit. But I think it's important that we not be black-pilled. We remember what God did for Donald Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania. His assassination attempt and survival was a miracle. And I think God was doing that because he knew there was rough days ahead. And as a country, we just need to trust in our God and trust in the fact that he knew what he was doing when he spared Trump's life. If he was a total loser and was going to take this country down a hole, why not just let him get shot, you know? So I think God is still working. I think there's still hope for Trump. I don't think it's over yet. I think we just need to keep pointing out the wrong things, but pray for him and trust in our God, because I think God is still doing some things.
Well, look at how God rose up imperfect people all the time, and that's how this works, and you're absolutely right. People think, oh, you got a relationship with God. Yeah, that's everything. That's where I get the discernment, and I just wish Trump and others had experienced this so they'd really get dialed in.
Yes, absolutely, 100%. I think that we need to get back to the Bible and keep praying for our president. We still have 2 years, and the most important thing he needs to do, he was saved to execute justice and judgment in this country. If he will execute righteousness in this nation, you know, go after the Epstein criminals, go after the...
He needs to do it. We're out of time. We're out of time. Look, we're going to get better Supreme Court people. They're not perfect. This overall is good. We should be pissed off, but also still be appreciative to God. Great point. Sam in Tennessee, last caller. Go ahead. You're our tail gunner.
Hey, yeah, thanks for taking my call. I'll rapid fire it. When you're doing the timeline on Graham, don't forget that he has 7 hours ahead, so there's time zone. Also, after the strikes on Starobelsk and the refineries, Putin had authorized any strikes of military interest. And also, there's a weapons ammo storage that was blown up in outside Kiev, Vishniove. I can't say that right. Sorry. But one of the theories is that it was a black market site where they were skimming NATO weapons and selling it on the black market.
But it being ahead would make it even harder for him to get back, right?
Oh, yeah. But so one of the things they were looking at is the site wasn't maintained before. The grass wasn't mowed. It didn't have, like, any...
I tell you what, you sound like a really smart caller. If you'll give us your number, I promise I will open the phones up tomorrow and we'll call you back. I'm out of time. I'm sorry. Sorry to Chad and Rich Meir and others. But, hey, Harrison Smith loaded for bear. The great one. Wish he wouldn't have got rid of his silver killer glasses. I got attached to those. Harrison Smith's taking over right now with the War Room Live. Share those live feeds. I love you. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for 1 second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.